And welcome to episode 2 in our Arabic for Palestine series. In today's episode, we're going to be talking a little bit about al-lahjat al-falastiniyyah. We'll talk a little bit about...
Assalamu alaikum, guys. I just wanted to interject here really quickly. There's a number of times in this podcast when I say falastiniyyah. The tin bit in there should really be deen. There's a yeah there, it's not just a kasra. Should be like falastiniyyah, and it's falastini, it's not just falastin. I don't know why I do that. I'm well aware of that there's a yeah in there. It's just kind of a quirk of my speaking when I'm speaking quicker, maybe. But anyway, I wanted to correct that just so there wasn't any confusion on it. And enjoy the rest of the episode. Assalamu alaikum.
The Palestinian Amiyyah, the little bit about the Palestinian dialect, inshallah. This won't be kind of the main focus of the series, inshallah. I think the most important thing for us to talk about is literature, and the thing that I think I'm maybe best positioned to talk about. I'm not a person who uses Amiyyah, Falastiniyyah, on a daily basis, but I did obviously live in Palestine for a year, and of the different Amiyyahs, I'd say Palestinian is one of them that I'm maybe most familiar with. Of course, I live in Somalia, and most of our Arabs here are either from Syria, a people whom I'm mistaken for being amongst regularly, and Yemenis as well are here too. So those are probably dialects that I've become more familiar with. Although learning Palestinian set me up very well to be able to converse confidently with the Syrians here. So what I want to do is go through a number of the details about the Palestinian dialect in quite broad strokes terms. If you go to Palestine, you will notice quite big differences in pronunciation, even from one village to another, or not even so much between cities, but between living situations, in the sense of the people who live in Nablus. I personally didn't notice them speaking massively different to the people from Al-Quds or Ramallah, but I did notice massive differences in the people who lived in Nablus versus people who lived in the small villages surrounding Nablus. I noticed big differences. I went to a masjid that was maybe 20-minute drive outside of Nablus, maybe, and there are stray dogs there. I was coming out of the masjid, and I heard one of the guys say that it's a chelib. Imagine that. Imagine someone saying chelib. A chair for a calf, and a kasra under the lam, chelib. That there's barely two sounds that are the same between that and fusha, which is amazing. And, you know, 20-minute drive, you'll hear people say kelb, which is very close to fusha. So in any case, what I want to do is go through quite broad strokes, look at Palestinian Amiyyah, reason being that I think it gives us a better understanding of when we hear interviews and when we actually hear the voices of the Palestinian people, the Arabic language students. We can use this episode as a bridge, inshallah, to access what the Palestinians are saying with their own voice, inshallah. A quick update on the statistics, inshallah. I shared a statistic last week, which I actually misquoted, and someone emailed me and they said we haven't killed 20,000 children. We've only killed 11,000. You know, it's very confusing. I was like, well, that's all right then. That's all right then. You've only slaughtered nearly 12,000 children. But anyway, so the latest details that I have here are actually from the 30th of December. From Euromed Human Rights Mail. I bless those guys for sharing their infographics to make this information clear. So far, killed are 30,000. Over 90% of those are civilians. The number is is 27,681 we have here. And of those, children, 11,833, and women, 6,009. So that isn't even at the time of the recording of this podcast, which is the 6th of January. So this is a week ago. So that these numbers are actually from, so perhaps it's much higher than that by now. So let's jump into it, inshallah. So the first thing you need to know about the Palestinian Amiyyah is that they love kasra. They love the I sound. If they can squeeze an I sound at the beginning of a name or any word, they will. Muhammad will become Imhammad. Okay? Whatever, as I think of them, I'll mention them, but that's one clear example. Imhammad. They love the I sound at the beginning of words, and they'll even change te marbuta to be an I sound as well. So they'll say, for example, hawiyyeh. The word hawiyyeh is the word for your identity, but in Palestine it means like your ID card. Hawiyyeh. The Palestinians carry a hawiyyeh, that's part of their life there. A hawiyyeh So you change the Tetmod Bortot at the end into like a Kassra sound as well. So as a general rule, il lehije falastiniye bitheb el kasra. It loves kasra. Okay. Okay. Where I say there, bihib and a bahib, bitheb, you have a ber before verbs. Where does this come from? I don't know, is the answer. But it's actually not only the Shami dialect in general that uses this. Arabic dialects across the whole of the Arabic world actually do this. It's very common to have ber before. So, for example, rather than saying ana atakallamu, they say ana bitkallam. Ana bitkallam. Or there's another verb they would more likely use, which we'll get to later. But for example, ana bashrab, I drink. Ana bashrab kahwa. Or kahwe, they'd probably prefer. Ana bashrab, rather than ana ashrab. Ana baykul, I eat. Ana, not bevheb, they don't use the verb zaheba. They use the verb raha, yiruhu. Ana bruh, is what they say. So they love ba before verbs as well. Okay, what about making these verbs negative? So for example, let's say ana bashrab. How do we make this negative? So you can just say ana ma bashrab, and I don't drink. Ana ma bashrab. But you quite often have a sh at the end as well. You'll have mebishrabsh, mebishrabsh. I do not drink, or mebudakhinsh. I don't smoke, for example. So you'll have a me at the beginning and a sh at the end. Mebekulsh. I don't eat. It's a very, very common habit of as I say, as with this rule, actually, it's actually not only, maybe Egyptians are more likely to do this even, but they do this in Palestine as well. And next thing, okay, so the kind of three principles we've learned so far is that in Palestine, they love the kasra, wherever they can, bear before verbs, but that's not unique to the Palestinian dialect. Meh before verbs to make them negative, and that's actually unique to, no, not entirely unique to dialects, but in Fusha, we tend to learn that You tend to use la to make present tense verbs negative. You'd say la ashrabu, for I don't drink. But you'd say ma sharibtu, I didn't drink, in the past tense. You never use a la to make verbs negative in Aramiya. You can use ma for all of them. It's fine, right? Ma bashrab in the present tense, right? Use ma to make things negative. It's absolutely fine. Okay. And then something else that I noticed is for these kind of everyday words like good, the Palestinians as well, maybe they are just a culture who have a love for food, but they tend to use food adjectives for things. So a way of saying good, well, there's two ways really, and both of them are to do with foods, is mnih, mnih. Okay, where on earth does that come from? It comes from milh, as in salt, malih, salty. But the le becomes a na. Phonetically, they're very similar in terms of where you put your tongue in your mouth. La and na. So mlih becomes mnih. And because of Falastiniyun, they love the kasra, it becomes imnih. Imnih. If people ask you, kif halak, you can say imnih. Imnih, I'm good. Imnih. Or if you're a girl, imnihe. With a e at the end. But it's actually a tetmod bulta. Right? It's not that it's yeah, it's not a case ending. Well, a'yadu billah in Aramiya. It's actually a tetmod bulta. Imniha. And then there's the word halu as well. They say halu for something good. Halu. It means it's good. But halu comes from halwa, meaning sweet, right? So they have these two foody adjectives, salty and sweet, but they use them to mean good. They just means that something's good. Imniha. Imniha alhamdulillah. And imniha alhamdulillah. I'm good, alhamdulillah. Okay, so I need to go through a few verbs. I mentioned earlier, I said ana bitkallam. For example, ana bitkallam arabi, I speak Arabic. We would never say that in Fusha, ana bitkallam arabi. But in Sham in general, they prefer to use the verb haka. Haka in Fusha really means to just tell a story. But in Aramiya, it means to speak. It just means to speak. Mabtahki arabi. Did you speak Arabic? Mabtahki arabi. Ah, ana bahki arabi. They don't even say naam most of the time. They might say ana bahki arabi. I speak Arabic. So haka for speaking. Okay, I mentioned they don't use the verb ذهبَ. They use the verb راحَ. أنا روحت على مسجد. أو أنا روحت على جامع. So sometimes they'll say جامع for a mosque instead of a مسجد. Not to be confused with جامعة, with a term of بوتا at the end, which means a university, but a جامع is a word for a mosque. So راح, but then bear in mind, you often use the preposition على or just على. روحت على مسجد. روحت على مسجد. Not even على المسجد. على مسجد. It's fine, just with an عين. So روحت, I went. They wouldn't even say روحت. روحت. أنا روحت. Okay. SubhanAllah, my students at Arabic Unlocked in the Quranic Arabic program will love this episode. And my past students on the 60 Steps program as well. Because you will never get me a lot of telling people to say that. أنا روحت على مسجد. أنا روحت على. أنا روحت على جامعة. I went to university. أنا زرت. I visited. أنا زرت أمي. I visited my mother. Okay, so using the verb راحه to mean to go, and then this word bid as well. Bid isn't really a verb, but bid means to want something. And a biddi knafe. I want knafe. And a biddi knafe. أعطيني أوقية. Give me an أوقية. Give me a. When you buy a knafe, نبلوسية, please. You ask for an أوقية. An أوقية is like a. I think an ulki actually means an ounce or something. I think it actually does correlate to a certain measurement, but they don't measure it. They use whatever they're called, little things to make a square out of it, put on the plate for you. You can ask for nus-nus. You can have like half and half, two different types of knef in neblusiye. So anyway, but biddi for I want, biddek, you want, or biddik, you want to a woman, biddu, that they want. Yeah, so you use bid. Then none of this أريد أن أكل كنافة. None of this, okay? Don't go saying that in the وسط المدينة. Don't say that in the city centre in a shop. Okay, so bid to want something. ما بدك, you know, do you want something? Do you want ما بدك شيء? Do you want something? They wouldn't even say ما بدك شيء. Do you want something? Good, and then likewise, the word عند, to have something. You have عندي, and this is actually used in Fusha as well, عندي.
Yeah, me again. Got to interject about something else here as well. In Amiyye, they often don't say عند, they say and. There's like a fatha over the عين at the beginning instead of a kasra. You say عندك, عندي, عندو, عندك, عندك, like that. And then also something I don't think I mentioned in this podcast is how to actually make that negative. So the same way I talked about making verbs negative, using ما at the beginning and then ش at the end. So ما بشربش, for example, I don't drink. You can do that treatment towards words which actually are not verbs if they are used like verbs. So for example, with both and both bid, you can say ما بديش, or I don't want, ما بديش, and ما عنديش, or ما عنديش. To say that I don't have or I don't want. So I just wanted to interject that there because I keep hearing myself conform to Fusha conventions in terms of putting vowels in places, and Amiya doesn't always agree with it, so just wanted to interject again.
But the way it's used in the genders for you is عندك in the masculine and عندك in the feminine, right? عندك, عندك, عنده, to he has, عنده, yeah, it's used like that. So عند, I mean, even in Fusha, you don't really use a verb for saying have anyway. There is a verb. You could use malaka in some circumstances, but you tend to use عند or ما or لي. And in Amiya as well, they use عند. Then they also use this verb صار, صار, which in Fusha we learn means to become. It's one of the sisters of كان, isn't it? But it kind of means to happen. You might hear like شو عم بصير. You know, okay, we need to talk about عام as well, actually. But بصير, شو بصير, شو بصير. What's happening, right? شو بصير or إيش بصير, you know. This عام that I just mentioned there, it means that something is going on at this current time. And عم بحكي, I am speaking right now, and عم بحكي, you know. And عم بروحة, I'm going to عسوق, for example, I'm going to the market. Or when you say the عام at the beginning, it means that the action is going on like right now. That's what the am is. Not to be confused with the am at the beginning of Surah An-Naba, amma yatasailun. It's not that. Amma yatasailun is a contraction of an and ma. About what yatasailun are they asking one another? It's not that. It's got nothing to do with that as far as I can tell. It's just its own hamiyya, falastiniyya, shayt. It's its own thing, right? Okay, very nice. Okay, so I want to just go through some other really useful vocab as well. Something I noticed about Arabic dialects really early in my journey learning the Arabic language is that, differently to English dialects, like in English dialects, most of the differences are actually based around the way we pronounce the vowels. Now, there's some consonants as well, of course, like, you know, there are differences in ways that consonants are pronounced, but more or less the way that the day-to-day conversation will unravel is pretty much the same. Well, like every you know, speaker of English uses how are you, or usually an Americanism, actually, what's up, how's it going, so something like that. But I noticed that it's the most simple things in different Arabic dialects that are completely different. You know, so everyday used words, you know, things that are used every day, like what, you know, they like, you know, in Palestine they say shu or ish, for example. Okay, so let's go through some examples. So how do you say man? They don't say olajol, really. They say zeleme, zeleme, plural of which is islam, islam, zeleme. A zeleme is actually a word for an idol. I think it's actually used in the Quran, actually, zeleme. But they use it, so yeah, zeleme. Anshu am tahke. Well, what are you talking about? Anshu am tahke a zeleme. Well, what are you talking about, man? So zeleme, it means a man. Moi, they use moi for water, to the best of my memory. Moi, moya, no, moi, moi sounds right. Shway, shway, they don't say qalil. Say shway, shway, rather than qalil. Here's an important one, actually. Rather than nahnu for we, they say ihna, ihna, ihna jahzeen, we're ready. Ihna, ihna jahzeen. There's a line in a Palestinian movie called Umar. Not the Umar Musalsal, not the Umar series, but there's a movie called Umar. And yeah, one of the Palestinian guys says to two other of his friends, he says, ihna jahzeen ya shabab. He says, we're ready, boys. Very nice. Yeah, so not ihna. I've talked about ish and shu. Okay, another one that's useful is ba'deen. Ba'deen. Ba'deen means after. It's sort of, we'd use ba'deen instead of thumma. Like you might say thumma in Arabic. You know, ذهبتُ إلى السوقِ ثم رجعتُ إلى بيتي ثم درستُ العربية ثم استمعتُ إلى podcast العربية مع Sam. Then I listened to the Arabic with Sam podcast. ثم, then I did this and then I did that. But in عامية, they say بعدين. أنا رحت على السوق. بعدين رجعت على بيتي. وبعدين درست العربية. وبعدين, you say بعدين, بعدين. That word, interestingly enough, has actually found its way into Somali. People here in Somalia say ba'deen. They say that, I mean, like afterwards. It's kind of found its way into Somali, replacing words like, don't know, maybe reer wa qoy in northern Somalia say dabadeedna, and here maybe marka or whatever. Anyway, I digress. Coming back to Amiya, the word ma'alish as well is really important. Ma'alish. Ma'alish is like, don't worry about it. Ma'alish. Ma'alish. It actually comes from ma alayhi shay. There's nothing on it. There's nothing on it. Don't worry about it. Ma'alish. Ma'alish. And they say that. It's very, very useful. Ma'alish. Ma'alish. Don't worry about it. Ma'alish. Usually these kinds of amiyisms, they do actually have an origin in fusha. Like they quite often are contractions of multiple different words. So I want to come on to some sort of idiomatic expressions, we could call them, for daily life in Palestine, actually. But the things that you'll hear Palestinians use even outside of Palestine. So so this one is non-negotiable that you learn. If you learn a lehje, oh, well, amiyye, falastiniyye. Allah yaltik al-afiyye. Allah yaltik al-afiyye. Allah yaltik al-afiyye, what does it mean? Literally, may Allah give you al-afiyye. Al-afiyye isn't really just health, like siha. Al-afiyye is like just wellness. It's like siha. It's a little bit like siha, but it doesn't, it's But it is different to siha. Al-afiyah, Allah yatik al-afiyah. But people say it as a way of saying hello even. Allah yatik al-afiyah. I remember like sometimes I'd be sat outside, I'd be drinking coffee outside in my porch or whatever, in Nablus, and the guy who delivers the newspapers would come along and he'd say, Allah yatik al-afiyah. He'd just say, Allah yatik al-afiyah, as a way of sort of interrupting me to talk to me. Allah yatik al-afiyah. And the response is, Allah afiq. Allah afiq. It's actually Allah ya'afiq. But you tend to say it like, Allah afiq. You kind of join it all together, Allah afiq. So it's used like that. It's also, if you take a taxi somewhere and you want the taxi to stop, because quite often, but particularly in Nablus actually, they have this kind of shuttle taxi between Al-Akademiye, like the new campus, and Al-Edime, and the old campus, Al-Akademiye, the academy, which is the new campus. I live right next to it. And then there's Al-Edime, which is like the old campus on the other side of town. And you get these shuttle taxis. But if you want to get off somewhere early, then you say, Allah yatik al-afiyah. And that somehow means, stop here, I want to get off here. Yeah, so Allah yatik al-afiyah is very, very useful. You use it all the time in Palestine. Yeah, okay, so I've only got a couple of other points to make, inshallah, because this is a good kind of introduction to the Palestinian Ahamiyya in broad strokes terms. So what about when we want to talk about the future? I've talked about using verbs in the past. Let's say hakit and hakid, I spoke, and a bahkir, I'm speaking now. What about I will speak? They use rah bahki. Do they say rah bahki or rah ahki? I don't know if you actually need the bear when you're using in the future tense. It's sort of escaped me now. But in any case, future tense, rather than using sawfa or sa, they tend to use rah. Rah. Just with a ra and a ha. Rah. Sometimes rah. You might lengthen the rah a little bit, but I'm not sure there are really rules to it. You kind of listen to Palestinians and pick up the way that they do it. But it's definitely not sawfa and sa anyway. Okay, and then another one which is really useful to say that you must do something. You use lazim, and a lazim salli, and I need to pray. Lazim salli. And it doesn't sound like you need to use a ba between after a lazim. Lazim ahki, I need to speak. Lazim ahki. Lazim salli, I need to pray. Lazim ruh, I need to go. Lazim akul, I need to eat. Lazim whatever else, right? Lazim adrusin, I need to study. Lazim, whatever else, right? Lazim is meaning to must do something. And I want to round off this episode, inshallah, with a memory. I suppose something kind of iconic about the markets of Palestine, purely for my own kind of nostalgia more than anything else. If you guys want to listen in, then you're more than welcome. If you want to go, then you can do so as well. But if you want to come on a trip down memory lane with me, I want to talk about something very specific about the markets in Nablus. I remember maybe on my second day in Nablus, I walked down to the market with the brother who I was staying with, Brother Mondor. May Allah bless you, Echi, if you're listening. I highly doubt it, but if you're listening, Echi, may Allah bless you. I love you for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. We had an amazing year in Palestine. And we would walk to the market together to go and buy our food for the week, and we'd cook for each other and stuff. And in the market, you hear the people who are selling fruits and vegetables and stuff saying, Arba'a ashara, arba'a ashara. Or you hear them say, Thalatha ashara, thalatha ashara. You hear this kind of very, and like it's like everybody says it, okay, but what does that mean? Thalatha ashara, thalatha ashara, arba'a ashara, arba'a ashara. So after hearing it for a few weeks and dealing with them and buying, you know, apples and oranges and cucumbers or whatever off of them, I realized that arba ba'ashara, it means 4 kilos, sorry, for 10 shekel. So it's 2.5 shekel for 1 kilo. That's what it is, right? So yeah, arba ba'ashara, it means that you'd get 10, for 10 shekel, you'd get 4 kilos. Arba ba'ashara, is what they're saying. I'm getting the currencies mixed up in my head. For shekel, I think it's about 5.5 shekels to £1, or it was anyway when I was there. So you'd get, yeah, for 10 shekel, which is £2, you'd get 4 kilos of fruit. So it's way cheaper. It was way cheaper than some Mogadishu. It's way more expensive in Mogadishu than most places, actually. Mogadishu is not a cheap city to live in. But anyway, so Arba Ba'ashara, you'll hear that in the markets. And Thalath Ba'ashara, of course, is you'd get 3 kilos for 10 shekel. Yeah, three kilos of whatever it is for 10 shekel. That's how it would work. But not that you would necessarily buy 4 kilos of something or 3 kilos. Well, certainly we wouldn't anyway. Maybe more people that have big families and they would. But me and brother Mondor would only ever be getting 1 kilo or whatever. So and then when you do deal with them, don't say a bikem hair there. But people don't seem to say kem. They say a dish. How much? A dish is like the Aramiya way of saying kem. How much? You don't say kemasir, really. Like you could, people understand you, of course, and especially like people in Nablus, particularly actually, but lots of cities around the Arab world, they know that people come there to learn their language, so they're familiar with people speaking Fusha anyway. But if you want to use their lingo, then a dish instead of big kem will make you sound a lot more, you know, a lot more like a local. But we're not fooling anybody, you know. they know we're not locals. The most important thing, I think, when we're encouraging the Arabic students to take up the mantle of speaking the Arabic language, have comfort in speaking like yourself. Don't feel the pressure to have to speak like a native, because frankly you're not. What you are is something perhaps even more special, is a person who's willing to go out of your comfort zone to learn about another people. You're a person who is willing to travel perhaps to another country to learn about another language and a way other people live. So what you are, with your strange foreign accent, with your ways of speaking Fusha, you are actually something really special. And I think that you should wear that when you go to Arabic speaking countries. So I think that's plenty for today's episode of the podcast. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. As always, may Allah bless you guys with beautiful Arabic. And I'll end this episode saying goodbye, doing the Palestinian treatment to the Tetmod Balta with a warm Ma'a Salameh.